Chapter 6. There Are Worms in the Black. On the way out, Drake stopped to share the scoop with Roger.
It'd be good if you passed the warning. Even if I get the gens up and running, we'll have to root out the infestation.
Then he and Doug left for the inner gate. This was no time to be alone in the black. Another person might cause unnecessary delays along the way, but the Airedale knew danger when it approached and sounded an alarm when necessary. Besides, if Doug argued over choices and directions, Drake could bet on the better instincts. His backpack held various battery-powered measuring devices. He carried the hatchet through a loop in his carpenter jeans, and also had pocketed 3 extra magazines for the Bursa, still at rest in his shoulder holster. A dual-fuel mantle lantern swung from a belt clip. When in deep black, you don't count on battery-functional lighting. He felt comfortable, reassured, and certain that this would not be a one-way trip. Yet he also felt failure in the wind. Exuberance and depression at the same time felt strange, like a kiss that isn't a kiss. At the inner gate, Old Man Johnson commented on the spreading smoke, the stink, and the increasing shadows, but patted Drake on the shoulder and offered a word of encouragement.
"Don't worry, son. I think they're all dead now."
Drake smiled.
"Sorry, Mr. J. The worms aren't a fantasy, and they're not dead. After I leave, lock up and go find Roger. He has some very unhappy news. Take care along the way. Avoid the flames."
Johnson nodded.
"Feel the heat. Escape the burn."
He was still gawking as Drake passed through the inner gate sliders. The between gates lighting no longer functioned. The black pressed full against the outer fencing. Drake fired up the Coleman.
"Stay close, Doug. We'll be okay, even if I have a bad feeling this time."
He tapped the controls to open the gate for the exterior fencing. Nothing happened.
"Figures,"
he mumbled while resorting to manual procedures. The black spoke louder than Drake remembered, and the insects buzzed more intense than ever. Yet the typically indiscernible background murmurings almost made sense. Great patches of heat radiated on the left, the right, and sometimes directly ahead, and the air reeked of black clay, dead bodies, and blooming corpse flowers. The stench of brimstone almost overwhelmed him.
"This mess spews from hell's deepest pit."
Drake's nerves danced beneath his flesh, firing twitches along his arm muscles like exposed electric wires, spit fire when caught between metal rods during a windstorm. Images of Leah and Naomi flickered in and out of his mind. His heart pounded, bringing with each thump a nearly overwhelming sense of guilt, shame, and frustration. He pulled it together.
"Just a drug burn pushing a runaway trip."
He stroked Doug's ears.
"Been here, done that."
The Airedale gave no signs of understanding. Heading northwest, towards the dam, the water turbines, and the generators, Drake purposed to be the man who lived alone in the black, the man who survived even without Leah or Naomi. For a whole 3 miles, there had been no further sign of worms. Even the sounds and odors had fallen to the wayside. Whereas he had walked cautiously at first, he now moved with confidence.
"Doesn't really take that long to get used to it. Or maybe the ones at the mansion were the last of them. Perhaps what I heard and smelled at the gate was the inner reflection of drug burn. Could be that lava or a different cave-in ended all the others. After all, no one knows the total worm count."
He felt a certain satisfaction. A sense of success like the one following the burning of the mansion. By this time, Chief Copper and the rest of the security team were clearing the Soothers region.
"That's the ticket."
Thus, the nearer the dam, the more Drake rejoiced.
"This is it. The end of the menace. Now time will reset. Perhaps even the black will recede."
Doug's yelp reflected shared excitement. When he reached the upper spillway, Drake cut the wired fence with a portable hydraulic bolt cutter, then slipped inside the compound. The metal stairs were hot and slimy, so he clipped a lease to Doug just so the Airedale wouldn't slip through the railings. They descended side by side. Long before reaching the bottom, Drake felt the vibrations from spinning turbines.
That's a good sign, boy. This is going to work out okay for all of us.
As he had hoped, the problem resided in the Gens. Although never speaking it to any of the others, he had long known he couldn't repair damaged turbines. No parts, no access to heavy equipment, and no experience. Generators, however, even tanker-sized, he could rebuild. The sounds and stenches of the Black returned, as if they had never really left.
You get used to things.
He resisted Doug nudging on the lease with the desire to head back toward the top.
Even a life of standing in a cone of light surrounded by absolute darkness. We got this, boy. Hang with me.
The stairs ended in the hall housing the generators. Here the whine of the turbines should have overpowered the Black's buzzing, but it did not. Drake sensed the nearness of worms. The greatest intensity of heat seemed strongest whenever the devilish sliders came near. But no holding back now. The platforms supporting the Gens were just ahead, right beyond the power of his lantern. He was there before he knew it, standing close enough to the generators, such that the lamp revealed the full nature of the problem. Worms, big ones, dozens, and cocoons, too, everywhere, gumming the equipment, eliminating any possibility that one man with a dog would ever clear the room. Some cocoons had fallen to the ground, busted open and released multiple young worms. Slime coated the Gens everywhere that lacked sliders or cocoons. The sight of it made Drake hot with rage.
Even with a week to work and a full team of trained electrical engineers, technicians, equipment operators, and supplies, these Gens might never function again. What's more, these worms aren't retreating. What are you up to? Lingering on the outskirts?
Then it him to the core. The sliders were slowly sucking away the very flames within his lantern.
You're waiting! Waiting for me!
Drake drew the bursa, but rather than firing, he began backing slowly toward the stairs.
Got to warn the others!
The sounds from the Black suddenly magnified in intensity.
Screaming! It sounds like humans in torment!
Straining to flee, Doug barked, scratched, and whimpered, all in interchangeable order. The circle of light grew smaller. Like gray images against a black backdrop, various worms drifted in and out of shadow. Drake fired, hitting one larger worm at least 4 times, but to no effect. Then the earth shook and chunks of concrete cracked free of the walls within Drake's limited range of vision. A tremor, the worst Drake had ever felt. From somewhere under the deepest recesses of concrete came a roar that could only mean one thing. Drake released the snap on Doug's body harness.
Go! I've got to reach Naomi!